I am the Edison Phonograph, created by the great wizard of the New World to delight those who have never.
Good evening. This is Admiral.
Serve your friends the beer with that new 1952 tape. Y'all to take
it. Butterfield, are you aware of the installation of any listening devices in the Oval Office of the President?
Today I also got a letter from Emil.
Friday brings us to Lost and Found Sound. It's our weekly excursion into the audio archives.
We hear things that people have chosen to record and save.
In our series, we've profiled people who are obsessed with sound, people like Tony Schwartz of New York City. Schwartz doesn't like to venture far from home, so he's only been recording sounds within his own zip code.
We've heard from Sam Phillips, the man who eventually recorded Elvis Presley, but who first relentlessly recorded the sounds and voices of Memphis. It was Sam Phillips who said, "It's just got to be that God's best creation is sound."
Then there is 85-year-old Don Hunter, who works out of his basement studio in Eugene, Oregon. His love affair with sound began in 1935.
I started out recording on RCA pre-groove discs, and shortly after that I got a professional 16-inch disc recorder and did public address jobs and sound recording and made recordings for radio broadcast. It was a 16-inch portable recorder, and it was heavy. It was a pretty heavy log. I don't think I would do it these days. I eventually got a tape recorder in 1946 when I got back from service. I got the first tape recorder in town. It was a Brush sound mirror. It recorded on paper tape to begin with until they started putting out plastic.
In 1955, Don Hunter started making field recordings in stereo. Along the way, he founded and directed the University of Oregon's Audiovisual Media Center. He retired as professor emeritus in 1977. Today, his discs and tapes are his trophies, a few of which he has chosen to share with us for this series.
Of special interest to me during my career in audio and recording has been the collection of unusual sounds and the preservation of sounds around us, which are disappearing from our lives, often unnoticed. Sounds like fragrances evoke memories of past experiences. In a cabinet shop, a high-speed wood planer creates sounds in its dust exhaust pipe that resonate only at certain frequencies. When the planer motor is shut off, the resonating frequencies descend in harmonic sequence. As I grew up in the community of Eugene, Oregon, most families heated their homes with wood. Slab wood would be delivered in 4-foot lengths from Willamette Valley sawmills. It would be stacked by the cord in front of homes to season during the summer. Then, in the fall, the wood sawyer would be called in to cut the wood to furnace or fireplace lengths. He'd arrive with his horse-drawn wagon, which sported a wood cradle and a belt-driven saw powered by a one-cylinder Fairbanks Morse engine. In June of 1963, the melodious sound of a foghorn harmonizes with boat whistles on Lake Michigan near Sheboygan, Wisconsin. Now, A sound which many of us hope will become a sound of the past in the remaining old-growth forest, felling a giant Douglas fir. We live in a world of sound, and so much of the time we take it for granted. And if we just open our ears like we open our eyes, and we can get a lot more enjoyment in the world from taking in the whole scene, including sound, light, and color.
Excerpts from the audio scrapbook of Oregon sound recordist Don Hunter.
Now, as a final sound tribute, here are the British Coldstream Guards and Black Watch. From MacArthur Court at the University of Oregon in Eugene,